And welcome everyone to another Tuesday afternoon here in America and Tuesday evening in the EU and elsewhere in the world. I'm Stephen Roberts, this is Cancel the Cabal. I'm on four radio stations. I'm on PSN Radio, thanks to Angela Espino, and I'm on two of Shake and Wake radio stations, thanks to Andy Champagne. And, of course, People's Internet Radio, based in Scotland, actually, so... Welcome, everybody. Starting to see a few. I'm going to fill out the email here and as soon as I introduce my guest, and then hopefully more people will come in and listen. But I have a returning guest. He was quite sick the last time he came on and coughing up a storm. Almost died on air with me. Hopefully he has cleared up this bug that he has. But I want to welcome back Judson Witham to the show. Welcome back, Judson.
Steve, thanks for having me on.
You have cleared up this this viral thing you had, right?
Yeah, it. I don't know what they were spraying us with. They've been spraying pretty heavily, and then obviously everybody across the eastern seaboard and all the way across the Midwest and down into everybody seemed to get the cold and flu at the same time all across America, which seemed a little odd to me. But yeah, I'm cleared up.
Well,
don't think they'd spray us. They wouldn't spray us.
Probably not. I probably don't get too much stuff because I don't get outside the house much. I don't really know. I haven't gotten sick. I haven't gotten sick in a long, long time. I last time I got a flu shot 20 some odd years ago, I was sick in bed for 5 days with the flu. I thought I was going to die and wanted to die. And I haven't really... I've just got like a stuffy head just over the years. I've never really gotten sick for a long, long time because of that flu. I think I built up...
If they give you the flu shot and they give all these people the flu shots and there's flu shots being given all over the country and then all of a sudden everybody's got the flu, maybe there's a connection there.
No. That's impossible. Yeah.
Hey, I've been thinking a lot about being, bombed and blown up and burned out from aircraft here lately. I saw this execution of this Soleimani, this Iranian general that seems to fight back when his country gets threatened by U.S. military, and they constantly trying to finance insurgents and people to overthrow the Iranian government. And,
sorry about the phone call.
It's been going on 100 years,
Sorry about the
it's
phone
just
call.
It's a 100-year war. Yeah, 100-year war. It began when they discovered oil in Iran in 1908. I think there was Iraqi oil finds in the late 1800s. Resulting in the invasion of Iraq and Iran prior to the First World War, and then they invaded them again during the Second World War.
Isn't that the Lawrence of Arabia story?
Well, I don't know if it's so much that. I know it's got a lot to do with Esso, which today is Exxon, Petroleum, and British Petroleum, BP, Atlantic Richfield. Conoco, Phillips, Diamond, Shamrock, all those big oil companies that had the Shah of Iran in their pocket. You see, when I lived in Texas, I moved down there first about 1975. And I remember when the takeover of the embassy in Tehran occurred, and they just wanted the Americans out. They were tired of being subjected to the cruelty of that dictator, the Shah, who was a monster, by the way. I mean, that guy was pretty brutal. I think he had the same tailor as Muammar Gaddafi. They used to strut around those white general uniforms, trying to look all admiralty and stuff. But
he was trained by the U.S. just like all the other ten-horn dictators over there.
Well, this is kind of the point. I mean, I suppose it's nice to have $2.59 unleaded regular to put in your grocery getter, but I'm seriously wondering. You know, this Soleimani, was he like just like a freedom fighter trying to just get the Americans out? Was he just fighting back from the invasion and the occupation that
Who's this?
Obviously,
Saddam Hussein.
I mean, it was created by George Bush and Cheney on a whole bunch of lies.
Saddam Hussein?
They militarily bombed the living shit out of Iraq for the World Trade Center's attack, but apparently the Iraqis didn't have anything to do with it.
Right. No, they didn't. They never do.
Well, you know, hold on here a second. So we invade and bomb the shit out of a country because George Bush has got a limp biscuit and just wants to look all tough and stuff. And I guess he even claimed that God called him up on the phone and told him to do it.
Who's this? George Bush?
Yeah. Don't you remember God told him to do it?
I don't know.
That was part of his official, part of the official excuse. And,
I do remember they claimed that Iraq had some sort of a part in the attacks, but eventually he said, yeah, well, we're just going after Saddam Hussein because he tried to kill my daddy.
Now I'm at a point here that's, I don't think it's funny anymore. When you examine how America came about, which basically was a hail of gunfire and a lot of blood, when the original settlers on Turtle Island decided that the British had to go. So they overthrew their government, which was British at the time of the beginning of the revolution. They were getting down to like disarming people like they're doing right now in Virginia. And well, the people on the frontier said, screw that, you're not getting our guns. And so they had an exchange of gunfire at Lexington and one at Concord, I guess the way the history reads. And then I'm to understand there were other exchanges of gunfire and killing even before Lexington and Concord. Uh-huh. Those were just kind of like the sparks that ignited the revolution was the gunfire there. But yeah, I mean, America began in a bloody revolution of overthrowing the government. So I assume that this Salmanini guy is he just trying to liberate his country? And is he just, you know, legitimately defending Iran from American imperialism through their oil companies and the banks?
I doubt it. I doubt if he's even dead. Are you talking about this general or whatever that got killed?
Yeah, they say they blew him up in his car at the Iraqi airport outside of Baghdad, I guess. They hit him with some sort of a missile from a drone aircraft. I guess they had some kind of a judge, jury, and a verdict of guilty. And then, you know, they give him punishment phase of the trial. They decided that he needed to be executed.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this is all because Don Trump, you know, got a phone call from God and God told Don Trump to do it.
Right.
This is what I'm, you know, kind of worried about. I know I'm being facetious here, but I mean, shit, who's going to get God telling Trump to kill him next?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the half of America does think that he is the savior. So I don't know. Maybe he does have a landline or a cell phone to God. I don't know.
So do you suppose that God told him to be a pussy grabbing casino operator with all the, you know what goes on at casino hotels, right?
Yes, I do know. But can we watch all that plays though?
You know, I knew what Trump was when he went on the Howard Stern show.
Uh huh.
I don't have much of a sense of humor for Howard Stern. I think he's a disgusting example of a human being. I think he thinks, anyways, somehow that his perversions are, you know, an acceptable form of comedy in America, which they're not.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
late night.
I've got a nickname for him. I've had a nickname for him for years. I've had a nickname for him for years. It's Coward Will Burn instead of Howard Stern.
The thing that really alarms me is the fact that we have so many young people that are being exposed to this ilk. And when I say we have so many young people being exposed, I mean, how many young men and women decide to do the godly thing and join up, like when George Bush starts a war?
Uh-huh.
Or when Donald Trump is, I don't know, maybe Melania was sleeping in the guest bedroom and he wasn't getting any and he was just in a bad mood and he decided to, you know, pump up his troops at the Those, you know, those rallies are the same thing Adolf Hitler did. Hitler had those
Yes.
rallies, you know.
Yes.
And it's scary. I mean, some of those people, they just, they don't think, I guess they don't have any brains or something.
Well, you know, I would like to see all of these politicians and all of these corporate heads and all of these dignitaries that are calling for wars, the generals, all of the high,
yeah,
so-called so-called elite people, yeah, the high poobas. I would like to see them send their children and grandchildren off to help this war effort, you know, and in the front lines or the trenches.
How old is Barron Trump? Is he old enough to be?
No, I think he's probably like 9 or 11 or something. I don't know. Not
no,
quite
he's
old
older
enough
than
yet.
That.
You think so? I don't really know.
I know Trump's got 2-3 sons and 2-3 daughters, and they all got.
Yes,
you know, they're all of it. They're all old enough to carry a gun and you know,
they
jump
are.
On airplanes and,
they
and go well, kill the bad guys. Yeah,
Nancy Pelosi
let's sign them up first.
Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer—they have grandchildren old enough for all that.
Well, on a very serious note, I guess probably the most responsible thing that could be done in this show this afternoon is, you know, the American people. I don't think we hate the Iraqi people, and I don't think we hate the Iranian or the Afghanistani people. I think there's a bunch of corporate warlords and, you know, military industrial complex Wall Street types that control the U.S. government and Congress and Senate, and obviously Donald Trump's one of them. He loves that credit. He's built an empire on credit, which brings me, you know, kind of to this point. Right there before that missile attack, there was quite a few news releases about how the Russian central bank, VTB Bank, of Putin fame, they financed Vladimir Putin. The VTB Bank was laundering money through Deutsche to finance Donald Trump. And then, bam, you've got this, we're going to start a war with Iran and all this distraction. And then the story about VTB Bank laundering money through Deutsche to finance Donald Trump just disappears.
Isn't that amazing how that happens?
Well, it boils down to this. Now, you know, I'm 63 years old, and you've seen some of my videos and stuff, and you know I have kind of an eccentric sense of humor. You also know I'm halfway educated, and I know a couple things about legal process. I don't profess to be the smartest fella in the world, you know, but I'm not the dumbest one either, I don't think. I'll never forget the night that they dumped flares all over my house east of Conroe, Texas. I mean, you know, when that plane went over, I thought the plane was going to crash into the house. I mean, it woke me up right out of a dead sleep, the plane coming in real fast. And then it flew over the house, and I was sat there and waiting for it to, you know, crash into the trees. And then I could hear a helicopter, and it came in right on top of the house. And the next thing I know, I got about a dozen flares dropping all around the outside of the house. Now, I live in kind of a remote area of the 4th Precinct of Montgomery County, Texas, just north of the Houston Intercontinental Airport and north of the banking center in Houston. And I sat there, and my whole family was woke up by this, by the way. They, you know, everybody experienced it, not just me. And I sat there, and I was thinking to myself, well, I guess that was not teenagers in a stolen helicopter. And how my house became the pinpoint of the flare drop, I was thinking, well, they did that on purpose. That wasn't a random oops. That was intentional. And then, of course, I didn't get back to sleep. My family was all scared shitless by it, particularly my mother and my children. And so the following morning, about 5 hours, 5.5 hours, in Conroe, Texas, the courtroom was packed full of people. The commissioner's court, Judge Shadler was on the bench, and all the commissioners were at the hearing, and Sheriff Guy Williams was leaning up against the wall. And I walked in the courtroom through Sheriff's Department security, and I made a very loud appearance in that courtroom. And I informed the sheriff of this attempt to burn my home down with flares from a helicopter and a plane. And I explained to Sheriff Guy Williams, if they try to do it again, I'm going to shoot the aircraft down. I was pissed off, to say the least, Steve.
Uh-huh. I would be, too.
Yeah. I mean, try to burn my home down. I know why they did it.
Sure.
I'll get to that in a second.
I'm trying to send you a message.
But, you know, the sheriff looked at me and he said, you know, you got something to take down an airplane. And I looked him dead right in the eyes, just as serious as I could tell him. And I said, yeah, I think it'll do it. I said, make sure they don't ever come back to my house again. There was a reason I confronted Sheriff Guy Williams. And then I left the courtroom. Now, there was no mistake about it. I reported what happened, like, within hours. So this isn't a story I made up in 1994 so that I could talk about it on today's show. You see, in Houston, Texas, during the takeover of the embassy in Tehran, the Bushes were at work with the Shah of Iran. In fact, the Shah of Iran, when he was run out of Tehran, he went to Houston. He got a bunch of medical... His doctors were basically the Bush's doctors there at Methodist and Texas Heart Institute or St. Luke's Episcopal Hospital. They were all kind of responsible for the medical care of the Shah of Iran and Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos. And even Manuel Noriega used to come up there for his medical treatments, along with King, remember, what'd they call that guy there? Something Bush. Bandar. Remember Bandar Bush?
Vannevar Bush.
The king of Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
That Saudi Arabian that George Bush was always kissing on the face.
Uh-huh.
His big buddy there from Riyadh, you know, his big king Saudi Arabian royal family king there that just loved, oh, God, they loved the Bushes. And, well, you know, and then, of course, they had the Bin Ladens.
That's part of, part of the skull and bones tradition there, you know, the things that they have.
Well,
to
you
do.
had the Khashoggis. Remember the arms, the weapons trafficker Khashoggi, and then you had the other one there, Gabanafar, that supplied all the weapons to Oliver North and Secord and Poindexter and North and Bill Casey and that whole Iran-Contra operation there, the secret Black Op Wars of George Bush and the CIA. Everybody remembers those weapons traffickers. I mean, Khashoggi, Gabanafar, let's see, who else was involved there? Oh, yeah, Donald Trump. See, Donald Trump used to be a 007 type, and he was running with Bush and Secord and North Poindexter, Reagan. He was all part of that operation with Khashoggi and Gabanafar. Donald Trump was deeply involved, and not only the money, but the weapons. And people go, oh, my God, what are you talking about? But when you go back in history, you don't have to go back very far, and you look at where Donald Trump got that great big yacht. Remember his big-ass yacht he had with his second, or I guess it was his second wife.
Yeah.
Third wife. Maybe it was his third wife.
Fourth, fifth. So I don't know.
The Trump princess.
Uh-huh.
Well, he bought that from Adnan Khashoggi and Gabanafar, who were heavily, heavily, heavily invested in the Triad Development Corporation. Now, I've put together quite a bit of information, and it's in an article that I've disseminated extensively about Martin Harris's hat, and I tell the LDS Church to sear this, Joe Smith, and I show how the LDS Church and this Triad Development Corporation are heavily involved up in Salt Lake City with Khashoggi and Gabanafar and the Bushes and the Don Trumps and, oh, gee, golly whiz, the Clintons. And then you've got the Triad Development interests in Houston all around the Galleria where Oliver North and Secord used to go into the hotel. I think it was the Westin Galleria Hotel. May have been a Marriott, though, but I think it was a Westin. Off the main ballroom areas in the Galleria, North and Secord used to come into town and posse up with George Bush, and they'd hold their gala fundraising parties for, you know, the blackout clandestine secret wars of North and Secord. That's a fact. I mean, that's just a flat-out fact. The way I learned about it is I was working over a couple of blocks over from the Galleria at a place called Interfin Plaza, and the Houston Post had a front page picture of North and Secord getting out of a limousine over at the hotel the night before. You know, they were attending one of their gala fundraising parties with Congressman Charlie Wilson and Joanna Herring King. You ever see that film, Charlie Wilson's War?
I haven't seen that one yet, no. I need
Charlie Wilson. Charlie Wilson and Joanna King were basically having oral sex in the hot tub at the Houstonian Estates with George Bush for large amounts of secret money.
Yeah.
To fund the Mujahideen and the Al Qaeda.
George Bush Senior.
In Iraq and Afghanistan and in Iran.
Poppy Bush.
George Senior George Sr. was fabulously good friends with Joanna King, and Joanna King was basically, can you say blowjob on your show?
I wish
she
would.
She was giving blowjobs to Congressman Charlie Wilson.
I wish you wouldn't.
Well, that's something that even Bill Clinton was beneficiary of there in the Oral Office. So I think it's safe to say that there was some really serious interaction between Trump, the Bushes, and the Clintons in weapons trafficking on a grand scale. And this is something that nobody is discussing today, is how long has Trump been in this 100-year war and been a CIA asset, which he is, by the way. He's a weapons trafficker. He's as much of a weapons trafficker as Oliver North, Joanna King, Charlie Wilson, George Bush, the Clintons.
So who's this again?
Don Trump.
Oh, okay, right.
And his interactions with the Triad Development Company in Manhattan. He's been doing business with Khashoggi and Gabanifar forever.
Uh-huh.
In New York. Yeah. And nobody seems to be talking about it. All they're talking about is, Melania and Donald go to a football game, apparently, and they get a great big round of applause from their people. Like it wasn't a setup. Like he's a real big popular guy. Well, yeah, Hitler was popular. I mean, look at the people that cheered him. Benito Mussolini had, you know, people that loved him. Ferdinand Marcos, Imelda Marcos, they had people that would cheer them in the streets. Same with Saddam Hussein. They had people that would clap for him too. Hirohito, I can keep going. The worst tyrannical despot murderers in history all had their fans. And this is the feeling I get when I watch these less than educated participants at these Trump rallies. It's scary. And you try to tell them that, hey, you know, Trump was running weapons with Gabanifar and Khashoggi, and all they want to do is scream threats at you and call you a liar and say you got fake news. They won't look at the truth. They won't look at the facts. Somebody needs to confront Donald Trump about his dealings with the weapons traffickers associated with Charlie Wilson's war and the rise to power of Saddam Hussein and the removal of the Shah and the never-ending terrorism of the United States Central Intelligence Agency in trying to destabilize Iran, Afghanistan, and Iraq so that they can continue to control the oil fields and the minerals that they're stealing from the people of those three nations.
Right.
Which has been, it's been going on 100 freaking years. It's not like it's, you know, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's freaking history. And so that's why I came on your show today, because I know that Cancel the Cabal is a leader in the international news business. Beats the hell out of CNN, you know, Steve. No, you're going to hear truth on Cancel the Cabal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
you're not going to get the bullshit. You're not going to get the bullshit Fox News is shoveling.
Uh-huh, yep.
No, you'll get some. Here's the deal. Baker and Botts, law firm in Houston, Texas. Big, oh, God, they're big and famous. Very powerful. They're like Vinson and Elkins. That's another very, very powerful law firm in Houston. They have this fellow, his name is James Baker III. Used to be Secretary of State under Bush Reagan. Remember Jimmy Baker III, right?
Yeah.
Not this goofball Jim Baker from Praise the Lord Club that
says
that you can't, you got to be saved to love Don Trump, or I don't know, he's having some kind of a
the one that gets caught,
brain dysfunction.
The one that gets caught with prostitutes. Not that one.
The guy whose wife just, you know, she wore like gobs and gobs and gobs of makeup.
Yes.
Tammy Faye and Jimmy Baker.
Yeah, Jimmy Baker.
Well, not that James Baker. I'm Correct. Talking about the Secretary of State, Jimmy Baker.
Correct, yes.
In Houston. Now, he's fabulously famous for his activities with Joanna King and Charlie Wilson and sending huge amounts of weapons to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan without congressional approval and very clandestine and secretive black operations, just exactly the same as what's gone on in Libya and in Syria and in Iraq and in Afghanistan and the Philippines and in Panama and Costa Rica and Honduras, and you know the whole story of Iran-Contra.
Yes.
Which was run from the 26th floor of the Houstonian Estates. They're just next door to Interfin Plaza, just a couple of blocks north of the Galleria and Lamar Terrace in Houston, Texas. That's where it was all run from, the hot tubs at the Houstonian. Now, when you understand that the Bin Ladens, were fabulously good friends with these two other fellows. One's name's Clark Clifford. The other man's named Roger Altman. They were heavily invested in and president executive officers of the Continental American Corporation, which essentially owned the Bank of Commerce and Credit International, BCCI, that was directly involved in the pipeline of money to all this clandestine black op warfare. The Bin Ladens had Clark Clifford and Roger Altman running their airport next to the Ellington Air Force Base, where George Bush was part of the Air National Guard down in South Houston, just a few blocks over from the Hobby Airport. The Bin Ladens operated Gulf Manor Airport in Houston. That was their private airport. And the Bin Ladens used to spend a lot of time in Houston with Bandar Bush, the king of Saudi Arabia. Oh, God, were they, jeez, they were driven. Every time they were in town, there was these long delays in traffic because they had HPD and U.S. Secret Service escorting them around town with George Bush and people like Congressman Charlie Wilson and Ron Brown and people like Senator John Tower and the Magic Bullet man there. Remember the old Magic Bullet, Christine Magic Bullet?
Uh-huh. The one that created
the guy that got shot in a limo with JFK there.
The one that created seven. Governor Connally.
Yeah, what was his name again? What was that guy's name again?
Governor Connally.
John Connally. Yeah, old John Connally. He was deeply involved in all this stuff too.
The bullet that created seven wounds. Yes.
Well, you know, my personal history with all of this, quite interesting, actually. I'm just a kid from New York. I went down to Houston to go to work, and I wound up working for the biggest interior construction companies in Houston. I'm a very, very good tradesman. I'm actually probably one of the better ones in the world, and I worked for some extremely wealthy people, including George and Barbara Bush. In fact, I built the suite at the Houstonian Estates where they lived. I built it. That's the level at which I was operating at in my profession.
Was that before all of the problems started?
Well, you know, I didn't have it all tied together. I just figured, you know, I was going to build a family, and I wanted to build a house. And so I went out and I bought a piece of property in north of the city, and I borrowed the money from this little bank called Western Bank, which is a bank holding company, of course, owned by Rita Labobetti Group, RLG Holdings out of Zurich, Switzerland, RLG Holdings out of London, England. They also own this company, let me see if I can remember, Infra Motors. They were the primary importers of Datsuns and BMWs and Mercedes-Benzes, the primary importer of those cars into Africa, based in Kenya. RLG Holdings, according to the history, was a company that began in 1920 and was heavily involved in a number of industries, from textiles to agriculture to industrial trucks and agricultural equipment, automobiles, begun by this fellow, Rita Labobetti. And this Rita Labobetti formed a holding company called the RLG Holdings, also known as Westgate Investments, and then morphed into a whole bunch of other corporations operating today out of Dubai, which is a pretty interesting target that the Iranians, I guess, threatened to destroy. They were going to destroy Israel and destroy Dubai. But today, this RLG Holdings gang, they own and operate what's known as Purple Capital. And they basically slip in and out of the hot tubs with the world's billionaires and control so much real estate and money and throughout the world, it you can't even explain it. Massively, massively full, just multi-billionaires many times over. I've got some interesting photographs of their huge parties they have on the French Riviera above the yacht basin. And the people attending these parties are the Saudi royal family, and, you know, the Bushes get down with them there, and the Joanna Kings and Jimmy Bakers and Donald Trump's had his yacht in that freaking yacht basin, and they're on the French Riviera. He sure has. And all these people when terrorism and black operations, clandestine wars are being funded, these are the people that pony up the money. You remember the Iran-Contra hearings, you know, when Oliver North told the good, the bad, and the bullshit?
Yes.
He lied to everybody and put on his Marine uniform and made sure he always talked to his lawyer before he'd tell the Congress, you know, I can't tell you that because it's national security. It,
well,
everything that was dirty was covered you seen under national security.
Say, Judson. Judson, you seen what I wrote the other day about national security, right? National
say again?
I said, you seen what I wrote the other day about national security, right?
No, I didn't see it.
Well, national security, that just translates into one of us got caught or one of our friends got caught or some public official or some dignitary or some celebrity got caught doing something. So we can't say because it's secret. That's what that translates to.
Well, to go back to this war in Iran, in this war in Iraq, in this war in Afghanistan, which is, you know, basically got the world on edge today. The fact of the matter is, all of this meddling in their mining and mineral, you know, minerals and oil and gas in those countries has all been orchestrated out of Houston, Texas. Now, the Houston Post, which was a very large newspaper before it was shuttered and put out of business after they started running stories about the CIA and William Webster, and the Houston Chronicle, which I guess they played ball with them a little bit more. There's a great, grandiose investigative reporter down there at Houston, Texas. Her name's Lisi Olson, that has got her jaw wired, and she'll only print the official, you know, approved CIA version of anything that goes down in Houston anymore. She is the epitome of fake news. Lisi Olson, it's disgusting. I tried to get her to help me get some information out of the NSA. I wanted to know more about the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence closed door meetings with William Webster to explain why so many Texas and Louisiana banks were involved with North and Secord. I wanted to get more information out of the White House and the National Security Administration on why so many weapons had been stolen from Fort Hood, Texas, and never accounted for. I mean, how do you steal several hundred million worth of small arms and, you know, Stinger missiles and machine guns and, you know?
Well, could you do that?
No, I'm serious.
I am too.
How do you go to a military base like Fort Hood?
You just
and disappear a couple of $100 million worth of weapons.
You just tell your inferiors or your underlings that you have a lot more flashy badges and pins, and they should keep their mouths shut, just like the people in so-called Congress are, or the mainstream media are being told to keep shut about the $22 trillion that is missing.
I think there's probably quite a few of your listeners that have been intrigued by the accounts of Barry Seal and Terry Reid. The Clinton operations out of Fort Smith. Fort Smith, Arkansas, is missing huge amounts of weapons that were never accounted for as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, Judson, you just get in front of the cameras and you say, there's nothing to see here, folks. Move along. That's all you have to do.
There's this secret depot of weapons, not far from Waco, actually. It's known as the Southwest Depot. Oliver North and Secord apparently would use the Southwest Depot as a staging place to move their weapons and drugs. Very famous destination on a map in Texas, not far, actually, from the Davidian Retreat at Waco. Now, it's kind of interesting when you live in Texas and you did the kind of work and you had the sort of interests and hobbies that I had, I actually interacted quite a bit with the same suppliers of hot rod parts and PPG paint and custom automobile parts to the hot rod operations of the Davidians in Waco. We had, in other words, we had mutual friends. Now, I've also got family members in the Marines at the highest levels, beyond classified, beyond top secret, any terror unit response, things like that. And friends in the 101st and 82nd Airborne in Texas, same story. And then when you begin to piece together information like this, Imelda and Ferdinand Marcos robbed the Filipino people for hundreds of millions of dollars and invested that money in a lot of real estate in Texas, all around Lake Conroe, the area where I lived. And it's hard to keep stuff quiet, you know, when the Filipino government, the Marcoses, are buying thousands of acres around Lake Conroe. It's just, it's impossible to keep secret. It's also very impossible to keep secret the weapons trading for parts, for gun parts, that the Davidians, David Koresh's people, were rubbing elbows with a lot of Oliver North and Secord's weapons traffickers there in Waco. And they were very well aware of the operations of the Buffalo Airlines that were moving the weapons for Secord and Admiral Poindexter and Bill Casey and, you know, the whole Iran-Contra gang, along with Charlie Wilson and Joanna King of Charlie Wilson's War. You need to see the movie. You'll find it quite interesting. You should watch the Charlie Wilson's War, and then, of course, you should watch 13 Hours, where Obama and the Clintons moved all those weapons into Libya.
I have seen 13 Hours.
And you notice those CIA guys keep saying, we're not supposed to be here, we're not supposed to be here.
Yep.
And it's all supposed to be secret, and they're not authorized by Congress to be there with machine guns, and they're not there authorized to be involved in intelligence gathering.
Well, you know, I'm almost sure, you know, that there would have to be a lot of research to be done, Judson, but I would venture to say that quite possibly all of that also included drug running and also child
human trafficking is scary.
Yeah,
very scary. Yeah, it's horrible. I mean,
how many times?
Let me get to that in just a second. I want to kind of wrap something up on.
You know,
everybody was very familiar with Gunwalker when Holder and Obama got caught walking.
Yes.
Lots of automatic weapons into Mexico.
Yeah, Operation.
And those investigations got smothered and, you know, they whitewashed and then removed those from the mainstream media. Yep. We don't want to talk about Gunwalker anymore.
But, Fast and Furious, wasn't it?
Wasn't well, it was Fast just, it was just, it was just like the reunion tour of Iran-Contra. It's just the same operators, the same contractors.
Yeah. Well, you know,
moving the same stolen weapons. They steal weapons from like Fort Smith.
Yep.
They steal weapons from like Fort Hood. Hundreds of millions of dollars worth of the stuff.
Yes. Nobody.
Just stole, flat out stolen.
Nobody in government or defense contractors ever stop doing anything that works for them. They always just move it to a different building and call it a different name.
The point where I'm kind of going with all this is Houston, Texas is infamous for Charlie Wilson's War. And you have to understand that Bandar Bush and George Sr. and George Jr. and the Clintons were all, oh God, the fabulous friends. No, the Clintons and the Bushes are like joined at the hip. Bill and Hillary used to come down to the Houstonian all the time. They're not political enemies. They're best of friends. Now, when you start and you begin to look into the massive robbery of the savings and loans and banks that guy Judson Witham exposed all over the world, and then you begin to understand that they never stopped with the robbing of the savings and loans and banks, and they went on to rob the Veterans Administration, and they robbed the FHA, and then they robbed Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they've robbed just about every mortgage company that exists for trillions, resulting in that big financial fiasco in 2008, 9, 10, and we're still going on. It's still happening this second. The only reason that the United States government is operating this very moment is because of quantitative easing and helicopter money. I mean, this is the scale at which they have just raped the economic systems of the United States in direct connection with their clandestine black op wars. if it wasn't for helicopter money and quantitative easing, and I know you've been reading bits and pieces about these repo loans, these hundreds of billions of dollars in fiat money being loaned out in, you know, every night,
yes,
all across America. They're pumping out billions in hot checks, fiat money. And the very, very interesting thing about it is it's right before this next presidential election cycle. And the people who are receiving all this helicopter money, all this quantitative easing, the people who are at the receiving end of it are all the campaign contributors for the Republicans and the Democrats. They're not sending the money to your house, Steve Roberts, are they?
No, they're not.
How many million-dollar checks do you get?
Oh, I can't. I lost count.
I'd like everybody that listens to this program.
I lost count.
And even those flunkies at FBI and, you know, if the NSA probably listening to cancel them all. I'd like those flunkies over there to write in. You can write in, Steve, and tell them how many helicopter money, you know, quantitative easing checks your guys are getting. This money that they print out of the thin freaking air goes into the pockets of the oligarchs that are running this country. This is how they've taken control. They print endless amounts of billions from thin air and finance people like Donald Trump, who's nothing more than pimp? He's a pimp.
Sure.
He's a degenerate pimp.
That's not a terrible.
And I don't. I don't think Melania is all that good looking, by the way. And
I don't either.
I find her wagging her ass in those tight skirts to America. You know.
Uh huh.
I find her to be pretty damn cheesy and sleazy, actually. I don't find her to be this massively beautiful Queen Melania. No, she's not Queen Melania.
I don't either.
She's Don Trump's sleazy, cheesy fourth wife.
I don't either, Judson. I think...
It's disgusting.
Judson, I think she needs to take about 7 of those coats of paint off of her face and only have like 1. That's what I think.
Well, you know, I'm just kind of wondering, you know, when does America actually wake up from this dog and pony show?
When?
It's all staged.
It's
staged like a royal wedding.
When there's no electricity all over the country, grocery stores are empty because whatever, the collapse has come and nobody has any food, nobody can get any food, nobody can get any water. Nobody can get any ammunition for their pistols or rifles or shotguns. That's when the awakening will happen.
Well, you saw my YouTube video when I'm kind of laying out for everybody that, you know, they attacked my home in America in the middle of the night, like the death squads in Guatemala, and the death squads in Iran and Iraq, and the death squads in Afghanistan, and the death squads in the Sudan. They attacked my home at night with military ordnance. You know, you drop flares. Well, yeah, there's a good way to. What do you think they would do if somebody flew a plane over the White House and dumped a bunch of flares on the roof of the White House with Trump and Melania in their heads?
They'd blow a gasket, wouldn't
or
they?
Went down there to their golf course, you know, go down there to their big golf course in Florida.
Right. They'd blow a gasket.
All over
they?
The roof of Donald Trump's golf club.
They'd blow a gasket
in the middle
they?
Of the night. Do you think the people flying those aircraft would, you know, have some problems with law enforcement?
No, they probably have some problems with the missiles coming up the rear end.
Well, you know, when I confronted the sheriff in Conroe that day in the courtroom, the thing that's so remarkable is not one of those filthy pigs from the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, not one detective, not one patrol officer, none of them came out to interview the other people that witnessed it. They didn't come out to collect the remains of the flares. Now, I got a message for William Barr and Christopher Wray on your show today, and it's going to be a little bit ugly because it's directed at Don Trump.
Watch the cursing.
Your financing of your real estate empire through Deutsche Bank's traceable to the Russian Central Bank, Donald Trump, and your lawyer at Nelson & Mullins, Trey Gowdy, you little piggy. Trey Gowdy, the little piggy.
Uh-huh.
This message is for him, too. It's time to open up all the books and get off on this blocking of discovery in the federal lawsuit that I'm pursuing in Greenville, Tennessee against J.P. Morgan Chase, Credit Suisse, and Deutsche Bank, and a sundry of others. There's some other banks involved, too. But they've got that case just locked up. They've put the case on the back burner on ICE. They won't, and that's Judge Poplin, Judge Jordan, and Judge Corker. Three federal judges in Greenville, Tennessee are just freezing. They've frozen a case without any legal right to do so. Nothing more than completely denying due process and equal protection of the law. They will not allow discovery to go forward. They haven't dismissed the case. It's still on the books, but it's in the Deep Six file.
Yeah. Say, Judson.
Because they do not want Donald Trump's connections to Gabanafar and Khashoggi.
Judson.
And yes.
We're just about at the hour. How about we take a break? You want to come back for some more?
I would love to come back some more, but it's going to have to be on another day.
Okay.
I want to say this to you, Steve Roberts. I got a great big chip on my shoulder for this son of a bitch Trump and his Justice Department.
Uh-huh.
And they're not fooling me. And I hope the listeners of your show begin to understand that this 100-year war, it's financing these oligarchs and the elite that have taken control of the United States. It's the biggest crime scene in human history.
Right.
And CNN and Fox News and NBC and ABC and, you know, PBS, you're not going to hear the truth from them. The only news media group in the world, canceled to Gabal, just gave it to you live.
Uh-huh.
On a silver platter. So God bless you, Steve Roberts, for having me on. I'm going to have to take a rain check on anymore.
Okay.
Today, okay.
That's fine.
God bless. God bless.
All right. Hopefully talk to you soon then. Yep. All right, everyone. I am going to take a little break here and going to put on one of the many Gaia TV documentaries that I want to see. So be right back in just a few minutes.